You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week Art and Soul deals with the art of well-being, feeling in balance, self-awareness, and the growing importance of emotional intelligence. And joining us today is a veteran public speaker, author of several books on communication, who educates and entertains audiences around the world and lives right here in Michigan, Michael Angelo Caruso. Welcome.
Hi, Lisa.
You talk a lot about communication, leadership, getting what you need to get out of a relationship, and even in a business transaction. So I thought you could share some of that knowledge as part of this week's Art and Soul. Would you say you typically focus more on business or interpersonal transactions?
Well, I get a lot of gigs, if you will, through companies, corporate training, consulting, speaking engagements at conventions and conferences and that sort of thing. But when you break it all down, even business communication is person-to-person communication. It's two human beings talking, right?
Do you think the fact that more people are texting and using social media, that's impacting our ability to interpersonally communicate?
Oh, you bet. Because there are different types of communication, and in fact, different types of communication are being invented in real time, like texting, which wasn't around a few years ago. So what happens is in our casual society, we are starting to take shortcuts in communication, and I think it's impacting not only the quality of conversation, but also the quality of our relationships. Texting being a mitigated form of language, a lot of shortcuts, a lot of things go unsaid in a text message, right?
How can we communicate better?
Well, if you think about the simple communication differences between a phone call and texting, and everybody's recognizing now that a lot of us would rather text than make the phone call. What's missing from a text that could easily be picked up in a phone call? Things like tone, humor, irony, pace, inflection, volume.
Now, you talk a lot about communication with purpose. What does that mean?
Well, for example, I do a lot of sales training, and salespeople are out there trying to sell you something, a product or a service, and they're doing it with purpose, right? They're communicating with purpose. It may start with casual conversation and talk about the weather and traffic, but ultimately they are looking to sell something. They're looking for a transaction. And so they have an end game in mind. Same might be true for leadership who are trying to launch, say, a new year campaign or a goal for the new year. They have an end game in mind. So it's not casual conversation. It's conversation with a purpose.
Seems like having an end game in mind is pretty important and not necessarily always a lot of people's goal.
Yeah, it's true. Well, look at all the small talk. I call the opposite big talk, right?
So
if we spend all of our time on small talk, there's no room for big talk. So I think a little transitional period to get you into the reason we're here today. And then ideally, can we make each other better people with that conversation? That's the art of conversation.
I'm big on intention. So do you think that kind of falls along these lines?
Oh, sure. How refreshing to talk to somebody like you who says, here's what I'd like to achieve in our next 15 minutes.
So you travel around the world, you speak, you inspire salespeople and companies, and you have a new book out called Work Hacks. How did that come about?
Well, it's a rather fun book to write because it doesn't have a beginning, a middle, and an end like, say, a traditional fiction book. There are over 60 topics in this book, over 300 ideas. And we call them work hacks because they are legitimate shortcuts for things like communication or saving time or making more from relationships, that sort of thing.
Hacks for motivating your team was one of the first pages I opened up to.
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges for any leader, right, is to somehow find a way to use language and intention to get the team of people to do things. And there are tricks, if you will. I use the word trick. You're not taking advantage of anybody, but there is a psychology to it, to getting people to do what you want them to do, just to be a better role model, for example. One easy trick I talk about is if I was going to speak to a group of people and I'm an author of a book like Work Hacks, I can do something called a hug, Lisa, and I can pull my own book to my chest with the cover out so you're looking at Work Hacks as I pull it to my chest. It's called a hug. I can do it with any prop, except a refrigerator.
But you're working on that.
And so what happens is if you like me, if you like my message, if you like my leadership style, you then, by proxy, will like my book because it's in the same frame, right? So I can do the opposite. If you know me as the author of the book and all of a sudden I'm speaking to you, because you love my book and I'm holding the book you love close to me, you'll love my message. Now, does this work with everybody in the audience? Absolutely not. But we find that these types of patterns can work very well in a persuasive modality. College professors do this all the time.
We both work in the world of words, and you've defined some of the most powerful words. What would you say those are?
Well, one combination of words that works really well, and keep in mind, it's not just the word itself that does the trick. It's a combination of words, or a cluster of words sometimes. The phrase, "I am proud of you," is a very powerful phrase because we don't hear it enough.
Positive affirmation.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about "I'm proud of you" is most people don't hear it from the people they're closest to. Like a wife might not hear it from her husband very often. And so because it's such a powerful phrase, even when the wife hears it from a total stranger, Lisa, that word has an extremely heavy payload. And she signs for that compliment, "I'm proud of you," even though it's coming from a total stranger.
Well, because everybody wants positive affirmations, don't they?
Absolutely.
And we don't do it enough? Is that what your point?
Oh, for sure, yeah. And even more to the point, you don't have to even know the person for the affirmation to register.
Any other powerful words?
The person's name, of course, is very powerful. That's used as a single word. And grammarians would say that you would use it in what's called an embedded phrase. So if I was using your name, Lisa, I might say, "Well, Lisa, what do you think we should do next?" So it's Lisa, comma, "What do you think we should do next?" That's an embedded, your name is embedded in that question. I can put it at the beginning. I can put it at the end. At the beginning, it sounds paternal. "Lisa, what do you think we should do next?" At the end of the phrase, it sounds different. "What do you think we should do next, Lisa?"
That's really breaking it down.
It is.
Okay. And last but not least, I read something you wrote recently about giving versus getting and how that all works, the yin and yang.
Yeah. So an easy demonstration of that is when you're meeting somebody for the first time, if you hold out your hand first, behavioral psychologists have told us that you probably will have influence in that interaction. And the reason is it's kind of a dance, right? If I hold up my hand first, you'll likely respond by holding out your hand. If I say, "How are you today?" the reciprocal response is, "I'm great. How are you?" So it's a dance, and you'll start following me to the extent that you care to. Again, it's not manipulative. It's just if you care to. And then I can lead that interaction. I can influence which way it goes. Now, I always have my audiences raise their right hand and repeat the Michelangelo Caruso pledge, which is, "Never use your powers for evil."
I was going to say, this all just sounds like being nice.
It is being nice. And givers gain, right? So when you give, when you do something nice to people, when you offer your hand, they offer their hand back. If you ask, "How are you doing today?" they ask back again. And this is the yin and the yang, the tide coming in, the tide going out. This is the rhythm of life.
And you heard it from Michelangelo Caruso, who has a new book out called Work Hacks. How can we find the book? And maybe somebody wants you to come and speak. How can they contact you?
Sure. The book is on Amazon, both in a ebook format and also in a print format. And you can get the book on michelangelocaruso.com as well. And if you're interested in having me come speak to your organization, I'd be delighted to take a look. You can contact me through the website, michelangelocaruso.com.
Thanks so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU's Art and Soul.
Thank you, Lisa.
You said my name last.